Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 6th. PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, wants to see changes in the horse racing industry. Following the death of Eight Bells, the horse that was euthanized following the Kentucky Derby this weekend, PETA is calling for the suspension of the jockey, a ban on the owner from running horses on any track again, the revocation of the second prize awarded to Eight Bells, and other reforms to prevent such a tragedy in the future. We will wonder if you agree or not, and what your reaction to the Kentucky Derby outcome was this hour, and whether you are questioning whether horse racing is the so-called sport of kings or a cruel and unethical practice. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Nicole Matthews, campaign coordinator with PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
So I have to admit, I had second thoughts about whether we should do this issue or not. It's almost too painful, too heartbreaking to talk about. You don't think this was an isolated freak accident?
Unfortunately, this is not a freak accident. In fact, last year while racing at California's Bay Meadows track, four-year-old gelding Imperial Eyes took a wrong step and broke down in the deep stretch. The jockey whipped the stricken horse to a second-place finish, and Imperial Eyes had suffered a broken leg and was euthanized. The jockey was assessed a small fine and suspended from racing for 2 weeks. You know, we just hear about racing's most famous victims. The Kentucky Derby, for some of us, is a time to count the broken and dead bodies that litter the racetracks on the road to this famous race.
Yeah. Why suspend the jockey who was riding Eight Bells?
Well, we are asking for a thorough investigation of the incident. It seems highly unlikely that a horse would break two ankles walking after a race.
What do you mean?
We believe that they were aware of the horse's injuries. I mean, these animals, as a practice, are injected with different drugs to help them perform, to help mask injuries.
Mm. What good would it do to suspend this jockey and revoke the second prize and ban the owner from running horses again?
Well, horse racing is a dirty, greedy money game in which horses are hurt for life, killed on the track, or retired to the dinner plate. We feel that if racing officials were even remotely serious, there should be some major changes to the industry if they want to prevent broken bones and kill young horses.
Yeah, like what other changes are needed?
Well, these animals are currently raised and raced before they're physically mature, and pounding their legs before their third birthday can lead to catastrophic injuries. We also are asking that they mandate synthetic track surfaces or turf racing exclusively at every race course. You know, the dirt surface translates to speed, but it also causes injuries. At courses where synthetic surfaces have been replaced, the number of breakdowns has been dramatically reduced.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that, like as Keeneland has done, the precedent has already been set in Kentucky that the track will follow.
Mm-hmm. And racing horses before they're old enough, if they're too young, that also leads to the possibility of these injuries?
Certainly. The horses being raced before their third birthday, before they're physically, you know, mature, I have read that horses' ankles are as fragile as champagne glasses. You know, these horses are bred specifically for speed, not necessarily for strong ankles. So we hope that by racing horses after their third birthday, you know, we could eliminate some of these catastrophic injuries. But in the end, it's important for people to consider that the majority of horses, whether they, are second-place finishers or first-place finishers, eventually will be, if they're not euthanized on the track because of injuries, will be sold for slaughter.
We're talking with Nicole Matthews, campaign coordinator with PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. PETA calling for a number of changes in the horse racing industry following the euthanization of Eight Bells, the first filly to run in the Kentucky Derby in more than a decade, the filly that was euthanized after breaking both ankles after the Kentucky Derby. 1-800-642-1234. Do you agree with these proposed changes or not? What questions do you have? What reactions do you have to that tragic outcome of the Kentucky Derby? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 6th. I'm Joy Cardine, happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later today, in fact tonight, special coverage from National Public Radio of the Indiana and North Carolina primaries. That starts at 8 o'clock tonight, followed at 9 o'clock by a special NPR call-in. You can join host Neil Conan and callers from around the nation as we listen to and recap and react to today's primaries in North Carolina and Indiana. Tomorrow morning, by the way, between 6 and 8, we also will be talking with political analyst about the outcome of the two important primaries today and what it will tell us about the Democratic nomination for president. That's tomorrow at this time. Right now, we're talking about horse racing and talking about some reforms being called for by PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, following the death, the euthanization of Eight Bells, the horse that broke both ankles following the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Here is the trainer, Larry Jones, of Eight Bells, following the euthanization.
We never had a clue anything had happened to our horse until there was a phone call, a guy next to us, and he looked and he said, "Your horse broke down." And I thought, not mine, maybe one of the horses that run bad in the race, but not mine, because I'd watched her go out of sight and everything was good. When I saw my jockey coming back on a horse with Donna Barton, that's not the way he's supposed to come back, and he jumped off and ran down and hugged me and explained to me that they're putting her down. And, of course, by the time I got there, it was done. But they made the right call. This was no issue. There was no other choice to make. You know, you have to have three legs in order for these horses to survive, and she didn't have it. If this horse had been shortening stride or Big Brown really getting away from her at the end or Dennis of Court flying by, we would have felt like maybe we ran a horse that was tired. But this filly, no one was catching her and no one was getting away from her. She held her own and ran hard all the way and was still on a perfect gallop out. That's what's so hard for us to understand how this could happen, because everything went to plan. As you can well tell, I'm still not over it. It's these are our family, you know. It's just it's one of the things that, you know, that we live to take care of them, and they live to serve us. It's just that's just our life. That is what we do. And it's, it's very hard.
Nicole Matthews, what's your reaction to Larry Jones's explanation?
Well, of course, it must be difficult to see an animal that you've spent so much time with be euthanized. But the fact of the matter is, these things happen all of the time. The Associated Press has reported that approximately two horses every day are euthanized due to catastrophic injuries. That's over 700 horses a year. And people who work in the horse racing industry know that this is standard. While the jockeys and trainers and owners, they may shed crocodile tears today over Eight Bells' fractures and euthanasia, they will be right back on the track tomorrow, putting other horses at risk.
To the phones we go. Camille in Evansville. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. We had been talking. I've been in the horse industry for a lot of years, but I do showing, not racing. But it's become fairly obvious that a lot of the problems with the racehorses is the way they're breeding them. Because they're breeding them to be lighter and faster, which makes their bones more fragile.
Yeah.
And if they have a fast horse, that has health issues. In the old days, they never would have bred him. They would have taken him out of the rotation. And now if the horse is fast, even if they've got bad bones or bad feet, they keep breeding them.
Yeah.
Because they're fast.
Yeah. And that's right, Nicole?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, these horses are bred for speed, not for body composition, as she's saying. And it's tragic that the horse's welfare is second to the profits that one can make off of the backs of these animals.
Yeah,
and that, I think, is part of the problem, too. A lot of the breeders used to be more proud of what their horses could do, and now it's just about the money.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Camille, for the call. Is PETA... PETA would like to see an out-and-out ban on horse racing, right, Nicole?
Absolutely. Animals are not ours to use for entertainment. And, you know, in the end, these animals are not considered family pets. They are considered a commodity.
Yeah. Kyle in Lake Geneva is with us next. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say that I agree with PETA. I believe that horse racing is completely unethical. And I think to exploit such a highly intelligent and noble animal just for fame and fortune is just barbaric. And my reaction to the rider's statement, he said, "Well, my horse broke down." You know, horses don't break down; cars break down. I mean, they rolled that horse to death, and they just aren't. I mean, they're just putting it in fancy terms. So that's my comment.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Jill in Pewaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to correct what the presenter had said about Eiffel's breaking down when she was walking. I watched the video itself as it was played on the news, and I noticed that Eiffel was still galloping when the injury happened. And also, I noted the fact as I was watching the pre-race broadcast that Eiffel had difficulty slowing down after... her trainer, who often rode her, had asked her to. So it wasn't an injury that happened when she was just walking. She was still galloping out when the injury occurred.
Jill, I'm sorry. How do you know the injury occurred while she was galloping?
Well, in two ways. I saw it on the news. I saw her stride, and I'm actually very involved in the horse world as well. But I also went right back on to YouTube to see if I could see any signs of injury before it happened, and I did not notice that. Her stride was full length, and her ears were perked up, and so I didn't see any indication of it either. I was just as baffled as the newscasters were. So.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. That's what the trainer and everybody's saying, is that while she was galloping full stride and her ears were up and presumably having a good time racing, and then it occurred after she crossed the finish line. You're saying, and you just said that it happened while she was galloping.
Right, and I also made the point that the trainer had noted in the pre-broadcast, so the pre-race broadcast, that this is the type of horse that even after you asked her to pull up or to stop, that she would keep giving her all, that
yeah.
she would keep wanting to go.
Yeah. I was trying to press you on, Jill, is did you, when you rewatched the video, that you saw what appeared to be the injury occur while she was galloping?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was in one of her longest strides, actually,
yeah.
that both ankles collapsed at the same time and her nose hit the ground. And then the rider, which is an indication that he was maybe trying to ask her to slow down, flew off the horse and did a frontward somersault.
I see. That, but, yeah, I get what you're saying. Nicole Matthews, you want to react to that?
Well, it's most definitely why we hope that this incident will be investigated. Some folks are saying that it happened after, you know, the race was over, as she was cooling down. And I think it's clear that, you know, a horse is unlikely going to break two ankles while walking after a race.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jill, for the call. Jean in Cherry Valley, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I somewhat agree. The only point that I agree on is that maybe they should wait. You have to. Sometimes they do run them a little young, especially two-year-olds. I was raised on the racetrack. I was almost born on the racetrack. My mom was a pony girl for 20 years. I'm now a farrier for 20 years, not on the racetrack. I shoe high-end show jumpers. As far as eliminating horse racing, that's a crazy idea. Horses, they turn them right out here in the paddock. I met my first customer. It might take a bad step and snap its leg. It happens. You know, it's an accident. They can't drug that horse. They have all kinds of drug testing in horse racing. They can't drug it before a race. The horse took two bad steps and broke her ankle. Race horses are race horses. They want to run. That's what they do. Show jumpers are good at show jumping. Reiners are good at reiners. And as far as confirmation, there's a crooked horse that runs good and is sound his whole life. There's a reiner that's a little crooked, and he's the best reiner. The only part I agree with PETA on is that they might run them a little young.
Yeah. Gene, tell us why you say, though, that this is just, you know, it happens. This horse took a couple of bad steps. Doesn't it happen too much?
Well, it happens everywhere. You're not looking at the broad scope, or a horse slips on the ice, breaks his leg.
It's not just the racing.
And
you're
horses
saying.
are race horses. They want to run. Believe it or not, they want to run. That's what they want to do.
Yep, Nicole Matthews. They want to run.
Well, these horses obviously are bred for that purpose, and you know that is all that they probably know. Basically, though, making a profit off of animals, their best interest is not always going to be taken into consideration. And we hope that people will choose other forms of entertainment, you know, rather than putting their money on horses who, in the end, will end up, if not euthanized at the track, sold for slaughter, or, you know, sold off and moved from home to home to live out their lives on somebody's back lot. I mean, these animals, in the end, their lives are not going to be as glamorous as the racetrack.
Yeah, what about his point that, you know, it could happen in horse racing, but it could also just happen, whatever, walking on the ice or walking in the field?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the previous caller was saying, you know, these horses for racing, though, are bred, and their body composition is not taken into consideration. We hope that people will recognize that no matter the wealth associated with thoroughbred racing, for the horses, it's not much better than dog fighting.
Gene, are you still there? I want to know, what about...
Yes, I'm here. That's just crazy. It's no better than dog fighting. For one thing, you put a lot of good people out of work. There's a lot of good horsemen. I'm sure there can be more regulation. But nobody likes more bureaucracy than anything.
Yeah. We only have 30 seconds
most
before...
Most of the people that I deal with take... their horses are like their kids.
Yeah.
They take better care of them than some people take their kids. They spend a lot of money on them. They're pampered. They make sure that they get the best veterinarian care.
Yeah, and we've got to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Tuesday, May the 6th. We are talking about horse racing this hour and whether or not it's ethical. We are talking with a guest who says it is not. She is Nicole Matthews, campaign coordinator with PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, talking with us about the euthanization of Eight Bells, the first filly to run in the Kentucky Derby in more than a decade. She was euthanized after breaking both ankles after running the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. PETA wants to see a number of reforms to the horse racing industry, would like to see it banned altogether, but in the meantime, wants to see the jockey who was on Eight Bells suspended, a ban on the owner from running horses on any track again, the revocation of the second prize, and other reforms like not racing horses so young and not racing horses on dirt tracks, which can lead to more injuries. We welcome your thoughts and questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. PETA says that horse racing is not much better than dog fighting when it comes to cruelty. And a caller just before news time, Nicole Matthews, took issue with that. He apparently was in the industry. He says people who own these horses or work with these horses love these horses. They're like their own children. They pamper them. They give them good medical care. And in essence, says that that's a ridiculous charge, that horse racing is as bad as dog fighting.
Well, even those who raise dogs and treat their wounds after a fight, they still claim to care about those animals. But in the end, they're pitting them in a ring to fight, often to the death. And horse racing also results in the death of these animals, either on the racetrack or after their racing careers are over.
Next, we go to Ann in Milwaukee. Hello, Ann. You're on the air.
Hi. I remember a few op-eds in the New York Times a couple summers ago after the Barbaro problem, and I think they were written by Europeans who said they don't have nearly as many problems as Americans do with their horse racing. And I think some of the problem was the track, but also they aren't trained as hard as early. And I think the breeding may be a little bit differently. Do you know anything about that?
My understanding, yes, that they are, they do have different regulations over there. Things like limits on how often a jockey can whip a horse. And in the end, I mean, we have to ask, if horses really love to run, as the racing industry continually claims, they should be able to run without being beaten.
I forgot, I didn't really forget, but Barbaro was another example. He broke his leg while running in one of the big races and had to be put down after a number of surgeries to try to help him.
And, you know, Barbaro was a celebrity, and, you know, the public was hanging on every minute, waiting to see what his fate would be. And, you know, after 8 months, he was euthanized. I mean, during those 8 months, he must have suffered incredibly. You know, but his case is just one of many racing injuries. But the only reason they probably tried so hard with Barbaro is because he was such a celebrity.
Yeah. Ann in Sheboygan Falls. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I think another strong indicator that they race those, especially the fillies, too young is that I heard a commentator during the race say that Winning Colors had won several decades ago. She was, I believe, the last filly to win a race, the Kentucky Derby or something. And they said that she and most of the fillies are not able to reproduce themselves, which suggests to me that there's overdue stress on them at a young age.
I'm sorry, the fillies you heard cannot reproduce?
Correct.
Do you know about that, Nicole?
Well, I imagine if it's anything like the way we breed turkeys, you know, they've become, you know, just turkeys in particular are bred to grow so big so quickly. If a male turkey was to mount a female turkey, he would basically cause her to collapse, and they don't line up properly. So I imagine that after all of the breeding for these horses, you know, to make sure they're fast and light, that they do not mate as originally intended.
Lori in Cashton is with us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I agree with the caller, the farrier that called, with the age of the horses. They should be at least 3 years old before they race. But with your presenter, I don't agree with a lot of other things that she's saying, with the ankles being like champagne glasses, and that horses are sent to slaughter. There's no more slaughter in the United States, so a lot of those statements are just not true.
Yeah. What, Lori, I wanted to ask you if you know about this. What about the recommendation that these races be on synthetic tracks and not the hard dirt?
I guess I don't know enough about it to comment on it.
Yeah. All right. What about, she says the horses are not sent to slaughter Nicole Matthews.
Well, they're sent elsewhere, especially to Mexico, to be slaughtered for food. And also overseas in Europe, they do eat horse meat. With the amount of horses that are being bred, I mean, these animals are not just being put out to pasture with their jockeys longingly looking over them and remembering the race days. I mean, these animals are a commodity. And when they're no longer used for speed to make a profit off of them, you know, they are slaughtered.
I don't agree. I think I know a lot of horses that are adopted out, and slaughter has been banned in the United States. You know, everybody, you know, there's so many adoptions nowadays. I don't see where you're getting those comments that they're being sent to slaughter.
Well, Mexico and Canada, there are slaughterhouses for horses. And in the end, I mean, we would all like to believe that these horses are going to wonderful homes, but often, you know, as with any animal, after they're being adopted out, they can go from home to home and end up on somebody's back lot, you know, in small pens, but they most certainly are of no use to the racing industry after their speed has slowed down, and they have to be, something has to be done with them.
Right, and I believe a lot of them go to the hunter-jumper world. Some are barrel racers. You know, I just don't agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't know for a fact that all old racing horses are sent to Mexico and Canada to be slaughtered. And Nicole Matthews, you're saying there is evidence that that is happening?
Absolutely. I mean, I only know from the accounts that I've been given, and I've been told that every year the equivalent of more than one-third of the U.S. fall crop is, in fact, butchered for human consumption. And some kill buyers will pick them up at the track. You know, others acquire them at auctions, like in Pennsylvania. And these horses, you know, they're put into a cramped trailer and shipped, you know, without food, water, or rest. And, you know, the slaughter process is just as inhumane.
We are talking with Nicole Matthews, campaign coordinator with PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, which is speaking out on the death of Eight Bells, the filly that was euthanized following the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. PETA says Eight Bells is the victim of a greedy industry that puts profit before the health and safety of horses. The broken filly's death may have been humane, but the race wasn't. PETA is calling for the immediate suspension of the jockey, is also calling for the revocation of the second prize, calling on a ban for the owner from running horses on any track again, is also calling for some other reforms to the horse racing industry. We wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. About 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 6th, coming up after 8, we will talk about the global food crisis and food prices, and how biofuels are affecting food prices. That and more as we talk with the author of the new book, Stuffed and Starved, coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now we're talking with Nicole Matthews, campaign coordinator with PETA. PETA calling for reforms of the horse racing industry following the tragedy at the Kentucky Derby over the weekend. Here's Hillary Clinton, who was one of the people who was looking forward to the Kentucky Derby.
I hope everybody who goes to the Derby Saturday will place just a little money on the filly for me. I won't be able to be there this year. My daughter is going to be there, and so she has strict instructions to bet on Eight Bells and see what we see what we can find out.
Yeah, and PETA has sent Hillary Clinton a letter. In fact, Nicole, PETA's, is she the president? Ingrid Newkirk sent a letter to Hillary Clinton asking her to join in the fight to get these reforms in the horse racing industry. Any response from Hillary Clinton?
Not to my knowledge, but anytime, especially someone in the public eye, is promoting a cruel industry, we always will encourage them to reconsider and to join us in speaking up for these animals who are being bred and forced to race until their death.
Yeah. So you would tell anybody who bets on a horse race that they're participating in a cruel and unethical a practice?
Absolutely. I mean, if people would like to gamble, there are plenty of ways that do not involve animals. And in the end, animals are not ours to use for entertainment, you know, no matter what we've been doing for centuries. It's time to give the animals a break.
Next, we go to Vicki in Clintonville. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Joy. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just want to say that I disagree with quite a few things that your guest is saying, but I do agree that the racing age should be increased to at least 3 or preferably 4. I do endurance horse racing with my Arabian, and we cover anywhere from 25 to 100 miles per race, not the mile and a quarter, mile and an eighth, or whatever that flat track racers cover. And we cannot race our horses until 4 for the shorter distances of like 25 to 35 miles, and they have to be 5 years old to go 50 miles and above. So these horses, they just don't break down. I mean, you don't hear about this stuff. They don't break their legs and go down, you know, in the middle of a race. We don't travel at that speed, of course.
So
but we do gallop. We do canter. You know, there is a lot of speed. There's a lot of athleticism involved. But the horses just don't break down. And I think it's because, you know, they can't be started until they're at least 4.
Yeah. And tell us, Vicki, why the age makes a difference.
Well, those babies, you know, they're still developing. I mean, it's just like any immature animal, you know, whether it be humans or dogs or anything. I mean, they're really not mature until they're at least 4 or 5 years old. And I just also wanted to make the other point that twice I've heard your guest say that Eight Bells was walking around cooling out at the end of the race when her ankles broke, and that's just not true. She was galloping. She was still galloping. She just crossed the finish. I watched the race. She went down while she was in full gallop. She was not at racing speed, but she was still galloping. And I just want to make that point that I think that's, you know, that's a false statement, too.
I guess I didn't hear you saying that, Nicole Matthews. She did. Is there a? Did
no,
you say that?
No, I agree with the caller. I mean, that's why we're asking for an investigation. My understanding is some people were claiming that, you know, the injuries weren't known until she was, you know, done racing, and these injuries must have happened while she was running.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I mentioned that the ankles broke, or at least she fell after crossing the finish line, Vicki. So, I mean, what's the point?
Okay, well, I just wanted to. I mean, I heard her twice say something about the filly walking after the race and then broke down, and she wasn't walking. She was still galloping. And so, you know, that I don't agree. I do not support the racing industry at all, but it is a freak accident that could happen to any horse. But I think that it happens a lot more frequently in the flat track racing industry because they are raced so young.
Yeah, Nicole?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is, you know, like she said, this was a freak accident, not necessarily, because these things do happen all of the time. I think I mentioned maybe that the Associated Press has said that, you know, approximately 2 horses are euthanized every day due to catastrophic injuries related to racing. And, you know, this is unacceptable, obviously, to be putting these animals through such torment.
Vicki, thank you very much for the call. Jennifer in Casanova. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Hey, hats off to you, PETA. I agree 110% what you're standing for.
Thank you.
Coming from the horse rescue industry and being firsthand in California, if you go from the Kentucky Derby to where these horses start out, you would unbelievably see how many are injured or put to death, forced to race. They get lame. They get retired out. The rescues come and take them. And for that one caller that thinks that it's an ideal world and because there's no slaughter in the U.S., that is so false. These horses are being transported further and further. for slaughter. That's the only tier to that. It's just like you take, you go into a pet store and you buy that cute, fluffy puppy. You go back and you see where the parents and where that puppy came from. The same thing with the Kentucky Derby. You take these horses, go back and see the hundreds that don't make it, that are injured, and that it's just ridiculous. I've been to so many rescue sanctuaries, and I can count thousands of horses in fields that are lame from the racing industry.
Thank you so much for your work to help these animals, and I'm so glad you brought up the point, too, that, you know, anytime we're breeding animals, we have to consider where these animals are coming from, and often it is, you know, as far as puppy mills go, you know, mother dogs in cages that are forced to reproduce over and over again, basically to turn a profit with no regard to the welfare in the end of the animal. Of course, they want to keep them breeding. And 3 to 4 million dogs and cats every year are euthanized because there aren't enough good homes for them all. And it sounds to me like you have firsthand knowledge of all of the animals that are in need of some place to retire because of this cruel industry.
Mm-hmm. An email from Marlene, not sure what city, says she disagrees with you. Unfortunately, your guest is not telling the truth on many of the things she is commenting on today. First of all, comparing horse racing to dog fighting is not true, and it's totally irresponsible. Thoroughbreds are incredibly regulated as an industry, and the horses themselves are very high-dollar horses who are not routinely sent to slaughterhouses, in quotes, when they retire. Kentucky has many, many thoroughbred retirement homes, including the Kentucky Horse Park. Goes on to then say, it's a long email, but she wants people to do other forms of entertainment. What would she rather we do? Would she like us to watch NFL games where the players are hurt all the time? Or how about car racing? Drivers are killed each year. I guess the broader point is that sometimes people and animals get hurt in these sports.
And I, you know, it's good to point that out, and there's a big difference between human beings choosing to get behind the wheel of a car, knowing that they could have an accident, or NFL players slamming against one another, knowing that injuries happen. I mean, these horses are bred specifically to race. They do not have a choice in the matter. They may enjoy running, but they are whipped and made to run. In the end, animals are not ours to use for entertainment. We have the choice to participate in sports. And as human beings, we should, you know, evolve our consciousness to only give our money to sports where all of the participants are willing and they can understand the true nature of the event and the risk of injury.
Next is Lee in Eau Claire. Hi, Lee. You're on the air.
Hi. I just have a problem with the credibility of any statistics from PETA. They're an organization whose whole goal is total animal liberation. No meat, no milk, no pets, no zoos, no hunting, no fishing, no draft horses. Yeah. We've got about 10 million horses in this country, and only 1% are slaughtered. So I have a tough time believing any of those statistics that she gives.
Yeah, so do you think horse racing is okay, Lee?
Yes, I do. Maybe they could, you know, wait till they're a year older to race them, but in general, they're pretty pampered.
Nicole?
Well, PETA definitely makes no apologies for being a pro-vegetarian organization. You know, when people consider the cruelty involved in producing meat, eggs, and milk, I think that many people will make the switch to a vegetarian diet. But, you know, in the end, we want people to consider the animals in every choice that they make, and I don't think that's a lot to ask. I mean, animals are affected by our purchases every day. And this is entertainment. You know, this is a frivolous activity, and these people are making a lot of money off of the performance of these animals.
Jenny in Oregon, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was calling in. The first thing I wanted to say is your comment about the animals not being able to breed is incorrect, that thoroughbreds have to be bred live cover. The industry does not allow for any artificial insemination.
Yeah, Jenny, the caller that called in about this said, why can't these fillies breed? Is that true that somehow these fillies can't reproduce?
To my knowledge, that isn't true. But one of the things I wanted to say is I'm in the hunter-jumper industry, and our industry benefits greatly from the veterinary advances. and nutrition advances that have come out of the racehorse industry. There's a lot of research and good that comes from it. I agree that the footings could be better. You know, maybe things need to be more regulated.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of technological advances that my industry benefits from, and we get a lot of horses off the track that are very valuable. They would never go to slaughter. They sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Thank you, Jenny. I'm sorry, we have less than a minute for a final response. Nicole?
Well, I'm not. I do not have much knowledge on breeding horses. That's why I just pulled up my knowledge of turkey breeding. I know that you know humans have manipulated and bred animals to be a certain way, and as long as these animals are being bred and used for profit, their welfare is going to come secondary to the overall value. And as you're saying, I mean, a lot of horses are worth a lot of money, and you know, for those horses, you know, maybe they get to live out their lives. But there are many horses, as I was saying, who are euthanized at the track or shipped to slaughter.
We'll need
and
to,
these are things that people need to consider when they're supporting the horse racing industry.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Nicole Matthews, campaign coordinator with PETA. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.